NPR News.
Archaeologists in Turkey have uncovered a fresco of Jesus as the Good Shepherd from the region's early Christian era. The Good Shepherd motif symbolized salvation before the cross became Christianity's universal symbol. Researchers say it's a rare depiction of Jesus with Roman attributes. The painting was found in August in an underground tomb near the town of Iznik. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Mostly cloudy overnight tonight, lows in the low 20s, a little on the chilly side. Light winds from the north, they'll shift to the east after midnight. For tomorrow, partly sunny, highs right around freezing.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Scott Detrow.
Means for the administration to redact certain materials or to decline to disclose certain materials. So there's kind of a lot of questions about what we might even see.
That is Haley Fuchs, Congress reporter for Politico. Thank you so much, Haley.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you're listening to All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we are 91.5 Lawrence and 89.9 Atchison. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on O'Connell Children's Shelter, offering services to families who want to foster or adopt, including help with licensure or home studies and background checks. Information at O'ConnellChildrensShelter.org.
You can also get more information about the O'Connell Children's Center coming up on All Things Considered. Jay Schaefer has a conversation with their executive director, Maren Ludwig. That's coming up at 6:44 this evening on Kansas Public Radio.
Mrs. O'Connell believed that it wasn't right that when children encountered police, both for their own misbehavior or the misbehavior of others, they sat in the county jail.
A look at the O'Connell Children's Center, the organization in this month's KPR Community Spotlight. Again, that's coming up at 6:44 here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Mammoth, presenting Alison Krauss in Union Station June 21st at the Topeka Performing Arts Center. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster.com. That's Alison Krauss in Union Station at Topeka Performing Arts Center June 21st.
Thursday night, celebrate with KU's Holiday Vespers, the annual concert by the KU Choirs and Symphony Orchestra. It's the 101st performance of KU's Holiday Vespers. We'll hear music from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker, Mozart's Magic Flute, and carols for the season. Holiday Vespers at the University of Kansas is Thursday night at 7 o'clock on your KPR1 stations. The time is 6:20. This is KPR.
Support for NPR.
Akalina is finally coming out of her shell.
Good one, Scott.
This is NPR News.
NPR reporter Jude Joffe Block has been tracking the unprecedented ways the Trump administration is collecting and using personal data.
He's a category of U.S. citizen that this SAVE system is unable to identify as a citizen.
How one U.S. citizen's voter registration was incorrectly canceled, and the larger issues surrounding data on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for All Things Considered tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 5 o'clock on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 90.3 Chanute. You can find us online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Arts Center, now enrolling for winter and spring classes in dance, theater, and visual arts. More information
safer.
New York is the latest state the DOT has targeted in its crackdown on foreign-born truckers that began after a truck driver from India allegedly made an illegal U-turn that caused a fatal crash in Florida. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
And you're listening to NPR.
From the KPR newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre. Good afternoon. An update from DeSoto, where a stabbing and fatal shooting took place at the Panasonic battery plant earlier today. The Johnson County Sheriff's Department is releasing more information about the incident. Officers were called to the plant around 11 o'clock this morning in response to a stabbing. In a press release, Sheriff Byron Roberson says the suspect in the stabbing was shot by law enforcement officers. The suspect was pronounced dead around 11:30 this morning. The stabbing victim remains hospitalized in critical condition. The names of the suspect and the victim have not yet been released. No law enforcement officials were injured. The Panasonic plant was evacuated during the incident, which remains under investigation. The Kansas Jayhawks will face the University of Nebraska in the Sweet 16 round of the NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament tonight. The Huskers are undefeated and ranked number one. Greg Eklund has a preview.
Jayhawks senior Ryan Swanson of McPherson, Kansas, is one of the Jayhawk holdovers from last season and helped KU make it to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2021. She says, under first-year KU coach Matt Ulmer, the returning players successfully blended in with transfers and newcomers from Europe.
It was super cool, and just getting to know each and everyone's personalities, how they play, their playing style was just cool, and just seeing how we could form into a good team.
Swanson was a freshman when the Jayhawks last played against the Huskers, a second-round loss in the 2022 NCAA tournament. 16th-ranked KU enters this matchup against the Huskers with a 24-10 record. I'm Greg Eklund in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Senator Jerry Moran wants the Senate to amend part of a defense bill that he says will make flying less safe. Moran and other senators say the provision will roll back safety regulations put in place after a commercial flight from Wichita collided with a military helicopter near Reagan Washington National Airport.
There is fragility in the safety of our air system. Now is not the time. Now is not the time to step back from these efforts.
The House passed the defense bill earlier this week. The Senate is expected to begin discussions next week. From the KPR newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from
Else's list of albums of the year at NPR.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio, I'm Kay McIntyre. Good afternoon. This month's KPR Community Spotlight shines on an organization that's been helping young people in Douglas County for nearly half a century, the O'Connell Children's Shelter. To learn more, KPR's Jay Schaefer spoke with Marin Ludwig, the shelter's director of development and communications.
We're approaching our 50th anniversary next year. O'Connell Youth Ranch, where they've been in a minor fender bender or they got fired from their job and they don't know what to do. Just having that one caring adult in your life can really make enormous difference.
That's Marin Ludwig with O'Connell Children's Shelter. She was speaking with KPR's Jay Schaefer for this month's KPR Community Spotlight. One of the organization's biggest fundraiser is the annual Festival of Trees, which wrapped up last weekend. This year's festival raised $240,000 for O'Connell Children's Shelter. You can learn more about the shelter at kansaspublicradio.org. Look for Community Spotlight.
Support for KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering customized photography sessions and packages to create artwork that captures light and emotion. Now in downtown Lawrence, information and portfolio at tcistudio.com.
Just ahead on the last segment of All Things Considered, it's a look back at NPR's Hanukkah lights. this year for the first time without the late Susan Stamberg. We'll hear some memories about making this show from Murray Horowitz. That's just ahead here on KPER. Then stay with us for Film Music Friday on KPER 1 coming up at 7 o'clock this evening. We'll explore the world of rejected film scores. And over on KPER 2, it's Snap Judgment, both starting at 7 o'clock on Kansas Public Radio. Mostly cloudy skies overnight tonight with lows around 22 degrees. It's 34 in Lawrence, 33 in Topeka.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Scott Detrow.
And I'm Elsa Chang.
And donate animal gifts to families living in poverty. Whether it's a goat, chicken, or cow, each gift is intended to help families earn a sustainable income. Heifer.org/NPR. From Fidelity Investments, a dedicated advisor can help build a comprehensive wealth plan. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. And from Workday, Workday is an AI platform for forward thinkers, dedicated to transforming the way business leaders manage people, money, and agents today so they can transform tomorrow. Workday, moving business forever forward. This is NPR.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with Morning Edition from NPR News, where we ask questions you want answers to. Get context, clarity, and accountability every weekday from NPR News.
Join us Monday for Morning Edition from 5 to 9 o'clock. On Monday, it's Steve Inskeep, A. Martinez, and Matthew Algio. Good evening. I'm Kay McIntyre, filling in for Laura Lorson today. She'll be back on Monday.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Art Guild, with an opportunity to shop for holiday gifts at their annual art fair this Saturday and Sunday at the Cider Gallery. Details at lawrenceartguild.org.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, All Things Considered, and coming up next, Film Music Friday. We are Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg, Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Coming up on Film Music Friday today, rejects and disappointments, the film scores that didn't quite make it. Daryl Brogdon's your host for Film Music Friday, coming up next here on KPR. What are you doing tomorrow night? Hope you'll join us at Liberty Hall. It's our annual Big Band Christmas. Tomorrow night at Liberty Hall with the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. Do you love a party? Big Band Christmas is for you. Tickets are on sale right now at the Liberty Hall box office and at Ticketmaster.com. Big Band Christmas made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister. Healing smiles.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. After months of striking boats allegedly transporting drugs off the coast of Venezuela, President Trump is hinting that the U.S. could soon attack the country by land.
Every one of those boats you see get shot down. You just saved 25,000 American lives. But we knocked out 96% of the drugs coming in by water. And now we're starting by land. And by land is a lot easier. And that's going to start happening.
The statement comes days after the U.S. seized an oil tanker in the Caribbean, saying it was illegally transporting sanctioned oil from Venezuela to Iran. The U.S. has killed at least 87 people in strikes that have destroyed 23 alleged drug boats. This year's Nobel Peace Prize winner didn't make it in time to formally accept her prestigious prize at the Oslo ceremony. Getting out of the South American country was tough. Maria Corina Machado has been in hiding since President Nicolas Maduro declared victory in last year's election, widely deemed fraudulent. NPR's Carrie Kahn spoke with the man who helped the opposition leader get out of Venezuela.
Brian Stern runs Gray Bull Rescue with fellow U.S. military vets. They couldn't get Machado out by land, too many checkpoints, by sea it was.
I didn't want a big giant boat with a lot of big engines that can go real fast and cut through the waves because That's what the narcos use, and the U.S. military likes to blow them up.
The U.S. has struck nearly two dozen boats, killing at least 87 people. They allege are drug traffickers. Stern says U.S. officials knew when they were crossing, and he says Machado toughed it out better than his fellow military vets.
Yeah, we're all bitching and moaning, and it's cold, it's wet, we're hungry, we're tired, it's dark. She didn't complain once.
He thought she was dubbed the Iron Lady because of her solid convictions, but he says she's awesome. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
A nonprofit group is suing President Trump and his administration, arguing his White House ballroom project hasn't gotten legally required approvals. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, the National Trust for Historic Preservation is asking for a temporary halt to construction activity.
The east wing of the White House was torn down to make way for President Trump's ballroom, and the work continues even as no plans have been submitted to the relevant oversight bodies. Carol Quillen is president and CEO of the National Trust for Historic Preservation.
We feel like we have no choice here. We need to fulfill our mission. We need to speak on behalf of the American public, and we need to make the case that these processes are important and that respecting them matters, because our history matters.
White House spokesman Davis Ingle says President Trump has full legal authority to beautify the White House, just as his predecessors did. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
U.S. stocks fell from record highs today. The S&P 500 dropped over 1%. The NASDAQ dropped more than 1.6%, and the Dow fell 0.5%. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing extraordinarily creative individuals whose ideas, solutions, and discoveries expand people's expectations of what's possible. MacFound.org. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate, December 12th. A couple of thousand years ago, a large asteroid or comet might have been blasted apart, and we're still seeing the fireworks from its destruction, as the Geminid meteor shower, which will reach its peak tomorrow night. Most meteor showers flare to life when Earth passes through the orbital path of a comet. The comet sheds bits of rock and dirt, which spread out along its orbit. As Earth flies through this trail of debris, the solid grains ram into the atmosphere, forming the glowing streaks known as meteors. But the Geminids are a bit odd. For one thing, their parent body, 3200 Phaethon, appears to be an asteroid or a dead comet, not an active comet. For another, the meteor stream contains way more material than we'd expect to see from a body the size of Phaethon. A couple of years ago, scientists came up with a possible explanation. They used observations by a sun-orbiting spacecraft that passed through the meteor stream. They then used computer models to calculate a possible cause for the stream. They concluded that a larger body could have been destroyed. That produced Phaethon and a couple of other large remnants. But it also produced a giant cloud of dust and pebbles. So while some of the material that makes up the Geminids comes from Phaethon, a lot of it also comes from that cloud, shrapnel that makes fireworks in Earth's night sky. More about the Geminids tomorrow. And we have more sky-watching tips and much more about our amazing universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin MacDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
That's music for the movie Troy, composed by Gabriel Yared on KPR's Film Music Friday. I say it was composed for the movie because in the end, Yared's entire score for this film was tossed out because the audience at a test screening thought it was too overpowering. There are lots of reasons for a film score to be rejected, and over the years, quite a few scores done by some really prominent composers have suffered this fate. I'm Daryl Brogdon. This is Film Music Friday, where tonight we're hearing another round of rejected film scores. Music that, for whatever reason, was determined to be a bad fit and was often unceremoniously yanked from the movie. Later, there's music that was cut from films like Battle of Britain, Gangs of New York, and The Getaway. Next up, though, is an example of a great composer who runs afoul of a great director. For many years, Alfred Hitchcock had collaborated closely on films with composer Bernard Herrmann, but the two had a falling out when Herrmann's score for Torn Curtain was rejected. They never worked together again. When Hitchcock directed Frenzy in 1971, Henry Mancini was brought in to write a score for this tale of a serial killer loose in London. The story is that Hitchcock found Mancini's score too dark and symphonic, even a little too Bernard Herrmann-like. So Mancini was fired and replaced. Here's a bit of Mancini's rejected score for Frenzy, 1971, on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Music by Henry Mancini for Alfred Hitchcock's Frenzy, released in 1972 on KPR in Film Music Friday. In the end, Hitchcock decided this music was just too dark and oppressive, which seems weird because it was a story about a serial killer, but Mancini was packed off anyway, and the experience remained a sore subject for years to come. On tonight's Film Music Friday, it's another show devoted to rejected scores. And still to come, one of Britain's finest composers learns he's been dumped from a film when he reads about it in the newspaper. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering in-studio and on-location senior pictures, family portraits, professional headshots, and more, serving Lawrence and surrounding areas since 2004. Information and portfolio at tcistudio.com. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. We're 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, and online at kansaspublicradio.org. That's a tune by Ennio Morricone, which he composed in the mid-60s for John Huston's film The Bible, here on KPR. Apparently, Morricone had been asked to write the music for this film, but due to a contractual obligation, he was unable to take the job. Despite that, he wrote about 15 minutes of music for The Bible, none of which made it into the film. Although this tune was recycled in a spaghetti western called The Return of Ringo, for which Morricone provided the score. It's all about rejected film scores. Tonight on Film Music Friday, I'm Darryl Brogdon. Coming up, Elmer Bernstein's music for Scorsese's Gangs of New York is tossed out. We'll hear some of it shortly. Next, it's a 1969 film, Battle of Britain, all about how RAF pilots and their allies bravely defended Britain against German invasion, battling with Hitler's Luftwaffe for control of English skies. To write the film score, the esteemed composer William Walton was hired, and he wrote about 25 minutes of original music. In fact, it was because Walton's score was comparatively short and thereby unsuitable for release on a soundtrack album that the producers hired another composer to write an all-new score. It's said that Walton learned all this from reading about it in the newspaper. And his friend Laurence Olivier, who appears in the film and was instrumental in getting Walton the job, was outraged by this turn of events and forced the producers to include at least a small portion of Walton's score in the finished film. Here are a couple of cues from Sir William Walton's rejected score for Battle of Britain on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
William Walton's music for Battle of Britain here on KPR. Although most of Walton's score for this film was ditched, a few minutes of the music did make it into the final film, mainly due to the insistence of the film star, Laurence Olivier. I'm Daryl Brogdon. It's Film Music Friday, where every week we celebrate the music of the movies. And tonight it's all about rejected film scores, music that for whatever reason was judged a bad fit and not included in the final product. There's news from NPR ahead at 8:01. Film Music Friday continues till 9 p.m. You've got an appointment with Destiny tomorrow afternoon on Kansas Public Radio. Destiny is the host of Classics by Request, when we play classical music that's been suggested by our listeners. You can make a request at the KPR website, which is kansaspublicradio.org, and join us tomorrow afternoon 1 to 4 for Classics by Request with Destiny, right here on KPR. Martin Scorsese's Gangs of New York in 2002 originally had a complete score by Oscar winner Elmer Bernstein, and all was well. However, the producer felt the film was too long and started cutting it down, so much so that Bernstein's original score no longer fit and had to be replaced. At least that's one story of what happened. Bernstein himself has said that Scorsese's idea for the film changed over time, and by the time he was done with it, he wanted something different musically. Whatever the story, here's part of the music by Elmer Bernstein for Gangs of New York on Kansas Public Radio. Elmer Bernstein's edgy, violent score for Gangs of New York, 2002, on KPR's Film Music Friday. None of Bernstein's music made it into the final cut of this film. It's not entirely clear if that was due to a change in director Martin Scorsese's vision for the film or due to post-production tampering by producer Harvey Weinstein. Either way, Bernstein was out, replaced with folk music and some cues written by composer Howard Shore. In the second hour tonight, we'll hear some other examples of outstanding film scores that, for various reasons, never made it into the film, including music for The Desperate Hours and The Getaway.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Alonzo Bodum was not enthusiastic about the transportation secretary's idea that airline passengers should dress better.
I don't know if he's flown lately, but I can't fight in a tuxedo.
I'm Peter Sagal. We invite you to dress comfortably and get a row all to yourself for this week's quiz with special guest Lucy Dacus of Boy Genius. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is coming your way tomorrow morning at 10, right here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3. And KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or go hands-free and just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. The news is up next, and in the 8 o'clock hour tonight, we continue with Film Music Friday. We'll be hearing music from rejected scores, in fact, from The Getaway and other films. That's on tap between 8 and 9 tonight. You're on KPR. Where support for news comes from the Lawrence Civic Choir, presenting a Festival of Joy, featuring a variety of choral classics, Saturday, December 13th, 7:30 p.m. at First United Methodist. More at Lawrence Civic Choir's Facebook page. And the Topeka Zoo, presenting Zoo Lights, holidays from around the world, November 21st through December 31st, now with private igloos for rent. Reservations and tickets at topekazoo.org. Partly cloudy and cold tonight in the KPR listening area. The weekend, partly sunny to sunny skies, cold temperatures 30 degrees tomorrow.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Congressional Democrats released photos from Jeffrey Epstein's estate, including pictures of President Trump, former President Bill Clinton, and other prominent figures. One picture of Trump includes six women whose faces are blacked out. Republicans are accusing Democrats who released the images of cherry-picking photos to create a false narrative and that the pictures don't show any wrongdoing by Trump. The Trump administration is lifting sanctions on a Brazilian judge who U.S. officials claim was too harsh on President Trump's political ally, former President Jair Bolsonaro. NPR's Carrie Kahn reports.
Bolsonaro was sentenced to decades in prison for attempting to overturn his re-election loss and stay in power. Trump had said the U.S. sanctions against Justice Alexandre de Moraes were justified because of what he called a witch hunt against Bolsonaro. He condemned Brazil's current leftist leader, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, and imposed harsh tariffs on the country's exports. But in a reversal, the Justice Department has now lifted the sanctions against Moraes and his wife. Trump has also gradually lifted many of the tariffs. He and Lula have forged a cordial relationship in recent weeks. Bolsonaro began his 27-year sentence in a special cell in Brasilia. Earlier this week, the lower house passed a law that could reduce his time in jail. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
The Treasury Department is targeting businesses used to send money abroad as the Trump administration ramps up investigations into fraud within Minnesota's Somali community. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says money wire services sending funds to Somalia will need to submit additional verification. Trump also threatens the Somali community with immigration enforcement. The man at the center of a months-long deportation fight has avoided being rearrested for now. As NPR's Martin Costi reports, Kilmar Abrego-Garcia was released from detention today.
Abrego Garcia had been ordered to check in at the ICE field office in Baltimore, and his lawyer, Simon Sandoval Moschenberg, told a crowd of supporters that there was concern he wouldn't come back out.
We'll never know what their plans were for this morning, whether it was a check-in, whether they were planning to arrest him. But he's walking out the door and he's heading back to Prince George's County to be with his family, with his child and his wife who are waiting there for him.
A federal judge ordered ICE not to detain him while a legal motion is pending. Earlier this year, the administration deported him wrongfully to a prison in his native El Salvador. Abrego Garcia originally entered the U.S. illegally, but is shielded from being sent to El Salvador. He also faces criminal charges for human smuggling. Martin Costi, NPR News.
The European Union is indefinitely freezing Russia's assets in Europe. The move seeks to ensure that the Moscow-friendly governments of Hungary and Slovakia can't prevent the billions of euros from being used to support Ukraine. The EU is pressuring Russia to give up its war on Ukraine. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Pew Charitable Trusts, sharing about the state of housing in America on the After the Fact podcast, available at pewtrusts.org/afterthefact. From the University of Kansas, this is your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio. The Soul of an Innocent, music by Georges Delarue, on KPR's Film Music Friday. That was composed originally for Oliver Stone's Oscar-winning film Platoon in 1987. During the making of Platoon, Oliver Stone used Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings as a temp track. And as occasionally happens, he fell in love with the tune and used it throughout the film instead of Delarue's carefully created original score. On tonight's Film Music Friday, it's another show devoted to rejected scores. Film scores that, for whatever reason, were dropped from the movies for which they were created. Coming up, Jerry Fielding has his music rejected because the film star didn't like it. But now, here's a composer whose name may not be particularly well known to film music fans.
Gail Kubik wrote a considerable amount of concert music, including 2 violin concertos and 3 symphonies. He got his first chance to write film music during the Second World War when he worked at the Office of War Information's Motion Picture Bureau, where he wrote the scores for a number of military films. In the 50s, he got a huge break, the opportunity to write the score for The Desperate Hours, a Paramount thriller starring Humphrey Bogart and Frederick March. It's about a trio of escaped convicts who take a family hostage in the suburbs. Kubik's jagged, atonal score was something new for Hollywood, but as it turned out, the studio decided the music was too modern, and most of it was yanked from the film. Never one to waste a composition, however, Kubik refashioned the entire score into a concert work, which he calls Scenario for Orchestra. And here it is on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
Gail Kubik's Scenario for Orchestra, based entirely on his rejected score for the movie The Desperate Hours, 1955, and here for you on KPR's Film Music Friday. Later in the hour, another famous composer of concert music tries his hand at film scoring with disappointing results. Imagine your favorite Christmas carols performed by a swingin' big band. That is the formula at Big Band Christmas, KPR's annual holiday bash with the KC Jazz Orchestra. But you better hurry. The show is tomorrow night at Liberty Hall. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com and the Liberty Hall box office. Made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio. One of the most prolific film composers of the 70s was Jerry Fielding, who had spent years as an arranger composer for big bands and radio. In the 70s, Fielding worked often on films by director Sam Peckinpah, including The Wild Bunch and Straw Dogs. But in 1972, he and Peckinpah collaborated on The Getaway, starring Steve McQueen as a recently paroled bank robber. Fielding's score for The Getaway was ditched, apparently because Steve McQueen didn't like it. And it seems he had the clout to overrule the director on this one. So here are some of Jerry Fielding's rejected score for The Getaway on KPR. Music by Jerry Fielding for 1972's The Getaway, directed by Sam Peckinpah, on KPR's Film Music Friday. The star of the film was Steve McQueen, who it seems decided he did not like the Fielding score and arranged for Quincy Jones to compose a new one. McQueen had the clout to overrule the director on this one, and Sam Peckinpah later took out a full-page ad in Variety to thank Jerry Fielding for his contribution to the film, even though they didn't use it. It's all heartbreak and disappointment this week on Film Music Friday as we're hearing more rejected scores. Seems to happen a lot in the music business. Support for Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join us here every week at this time for Film Music Friday. Remember, you can listen to the shows on demand at kansaspublicradio.org. Just click on Shows to find this one. Also, if you have the KPR skill enabled on your Amazon smart speakers, just say Play KPR, and then you'll get the option to stream shows on demand, including Film Music Friday. Get all the details at kansaspublicradio.org. Our final rejected score tonight comes from Ned Roram, one of the finest composers of the 20th century. He was known primarily for his art songs, but he also wrote piano music, operas, and three symphonies. In 1971, Roram was hired to write the score for Panic in Needle Park, a gritty drama about heroin addicts starring Al Pacino. In the end, it was decided that the music of the streets was the best backdrop for this story, and the Roram score was tossed out. Here's a bit of that music on KPR's Film Music Friday.
famous Christmas persona knows who's been naughty and who's been nice. Another just assumes the worst and acts on it.
Ow!
Yeah.
That actually hurts!
But I don't make it hard.
You didn't even do it that hard!
A trip to the Alps to see and feel a Krampus parade, Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Kay McIntyre is your host for Weekend Edition Saturday. It's tomorrow from 7 to 10 a.m. right here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. You've got the power to make a lasting, positive influence in your community through planned giving. If KPR's been important to you, please consider a planned gift to the station. For more information, contact your financial advisor or visit legacy.kansaspublicradio.org. Partly cloudy skies tonight, temperatures in the 20s. It'll be pretty chilly this weekend with partly sunny skies both Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's high near 30, a little colder on Sunday, 22 degrees. That's the forecast. This is the news coming up.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump continues to pressure Republicans to redraw congressional maps in states across the country. But in Indiana, Republican lawmakers voted against a plan to do just that. NPR's Tamara Keith explains.
President Trump used the best leverage that he's had throughout his political career, which is to say, if you cross me, if you don't do the thing that I want you to do, that I'm going to primary you. I'm going to support someone else to run against you in the Republican primary, and I'm so all-powerful that you will lose your job. And 21 Senate Republicans in the state of Indiana said, all right, you can try.
NPR's Tamara Keith reporting. The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has warned President Trump not to meddle with democracy in Europe. NPR's Ruth Sherlock has the latest.
Ursula von der Leyen is responding to attacks on Europe made in the Trump administration's new national security strategy. The public document describes Europe as a decaying group of nations and says the US should, quote, cultivate resistance within these countries to policies and governing bodies the US disagrees with, such as the European Union. Speaking at an event organised by the media company Politico, von der Leyen said the sovereignty of voters in Europe must be protected and that, quote, nobody else is supposed to interfere. She said the Trump administration's stance is one reason why the EU is trying to set up a, quote, democracy shield project meant to fight against foreign interference online, including in elections. Ruth Sherlock, NPR News.
Some Head Start early childhood programs are being told by the Trump administration to remove a list of nearly 200 words from their funding applications. NPR's Corey Turner says the list comes from recent court documents.
The list of prohibited words includes accessible, black, minority, and women. It came to light as part of a lawsuit filed by multiple Head Start programs against the Trump administration, arguing that its ban on diversity, equity, and inclusion runs afoul of Congress's intent for Head Start. The head of a Wisconsin-based Head Start told the court her recent funding request was returned, with the Trump administration telling her to please remove the following words. Included was a long list titled Words to Limit or Avoid in Government Documents. Head Start plays a key role in helping young children with disabilities, though the list also includes the word disabilities. Corey Turner, NPR News.
The Justice Department is asking an appeals court to block a contempt investigation of the Trump administration for failing to turn around planes carrying Venezuelan migrants to El Salvador earlier this year. The department's also calling for the removal of Chief Judge James Boasberg. The administration defied Boasberg's order in March blocking the deportations. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. A bipartisan group in Congress is urging the Education Department to add nursing to a list of college programs that are considered professional. The Trump administration's list includes medicine, law, and theology, but leaves out nursing and some other fields. The professional label would allow students to borrow larger amounts of federal loans to pursue graduate degrees. As rivers swell throughout western Washington following days of rain and record-breaking flooding, state leaders are assessing the impact on the state's infrastructure and communities. Noel Gaska of member station KUOW has more.
Washington Senator Maria Cantwell says multiple major commerce highways remain flooded out and closed. She estimates the closure of one of the busiest highways could have an economic impact of $7 to $10 million. The head of the Washington National Guard, Major General Gent Welsh, says getting families back into their homes will be a long haul.
It's going to be days, in some cases weeks, before those rivers are at a level that it's comfortable and safe for everybody to get back in there.
The Trump administration has granted Washington's request for emergency assistance, allowing FEMA to assist responders tackling landslides and mudslides. Another round of wet weather could move through the area this weekend. For NPR News, I'm Noel Gaska in Seattle.
Ford is stepping up technology in the F-150 pickup to combat thefts. It includes a feature that won't allow the pickups to start even if key fobs are present. The pickup was in the top 10 of most stolen models over the first half of 2025. Ford's security chief says there are a lot of F-150s on the road and thieves like pickups. I'm Ryland Barton. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. RWJF is a national philanthropy working toward a future where health is no longer a privilege, but a right. Learn more at rwjf.org.
You're sitting there yakking right in my face. I guess I'm gonna have to put you in your place. You know, if silence was golden, you couldn't raise a dime. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime. You quoting figures and dropping names. You're telling stories about the dames. You're over laughing when things ain't funny. You're trying to sound like the big money. You know if talk was criminal, you'd lead a life of crime. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime. Life is short, talk is cheap. Don't be making promises that you can't keep. If you don't like this little song I'm singing, just grin and bear it. All I can say is if the shoe fits, wear it. And you must keep talking, please try to make it rhyme. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working.
The one and only Mose Allison opening tonight's Jazz in the Night from his 1962 Atlantic album, I Don't Worry About a Thing, a classic by Mose. Your mind is on vacation, Mose at the piano, Addison Farmer and O.C. Johnson bass and drums. And here are you, here are you, here am I. It's Kansas Public Radio, and I'm Bob McWilliams, your host for Jazz in the Night in about 10 minutes. Pianist Kenny Drew Jr. playing a rather lesser heard, wonderful Thelonious Monk tune. And up next, we've got the Mingus Big Band on KPR. Now, this was formed in 1991 under the blessing of Charles Mingus's widow, Sue Mingus. And it was designed to make sure the music of Charles Mingus was being played, because a lot of his compositions were not being played a whole lot, even though Mingus was a great composer as well as band leader and bassist. And the Mingus Big Band played every week at a place underneath the Time Cafe in New York City. That was their home for quite a while. And had a lot of the very best musicians in New York City involved in that. They put an album out finally. They had several eventually, but they put an album out finally in 1993 called Mingus Big Band 93, Nostalgia in Times Square. And this is a Charles Mingus tune, Moanin', different than the Bobby Timmons tune, Moanin'. And it's kicked off by the baritone saxophonist Ronnie Cuber here on KPR. Uh-huh.